In the Washington Post recently, I was reading a story online about a guy named Daniel McNeely. Daniel McNeely is a pediatric neurosurgeon in Nova Scotia. I don't know if anybody caught this story, but it's a really, really cool story where he was working with a child and he was going in to do surgery on this young kid. And the kid had a chronic condition. He had a cyst on his brain. And he was going in to remove some of the fluid around the cyst and do the surgery. And as the little kid's going in, he's holding his teddy bear. And he looks at the doctor and he says, "Dr. McNeely, can you fix my teddy bear too?" The teddy bear was torn under his arm. And this was the kid's favorite teddy bear. Now this doctor looks at him and the doctor takes the teddy bear very carefully and he says, "Of course, I will do it." So the doctor does the surgery on the young man, and the young man's name is Jackson, and the surgery goes really, really well. And afterwards, the doctor cleans up, and the doctor puts on a new pair of gloves, and he takes some of the rest of the stitching that he used on Jackson, and he sews up his teddy bear. And afterwards, Jackson wakes up, and he sees the doctor, and instead of the doctor telling him how he's doing, the first thing he does is he hands him his teddy bear. And Jackson is instantly filled with joy and filled with excitement. Now, Dr. McNeely, what does he do after this happens is he goes to Twitter. He's never tweeted before, but he tweets for the first time. And his first tweet ever is this one. It says, "Patient asked if I can also fix teddy bear just before being put off to sleep. How could I say no?" So that's a picture of the doctor that he tweeted about putting the teddy bear back together. Now, his dad was interviewed for this story. And his dad said, "He's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met." And his dad talked about how every time they would go, because they had to go multiple times into surgery, he said every time they would go, they were filled with incredible anxiety. They were nervous about what would happen to their son and about how things would go. And he said this, "When we get there, we're terrified to death, but every time we talk to Dr. McNeely, we feel better. Every time we talk to him, we feel better." We're in a new sermon series we started last week called #IAmHere. And this sermon series is a time for us to look at and explore more who Jesus is. Not just what Jesus did, but who Jesus is. And y'all, one of the big challenges that the church is having right now, the big arguments that the church have is around this idea. Who is Jesus and what does he care about? What matters to Jesus? And a lot of times in the church, we give our own thoughts, right? Well, I think Jesus thinks this, and I think Jesus thinks this, and about this issue, and about this issue, and about this issue, and we fight about it instead of going actually to the words that Jesus had. So we're going to go this morning, and we're going to look at some of the words that Jesus said, some of the things that he said. So instead of going to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are the first gospels, which tell more about what Jesus did, we're going to go to the gospel according to John, which talks about who Jesus is, in Jesus' own words. And he uses these statements called the I am statements, which is where this idea I am here came from, where Jesus says all of these regular everyday things that people would have understood. Last week we did I am the light of the world. Now in our current context today, we might go, I don't use that phrase a lot, the light of the world. But in the first century, the concept of the light of the world was a big deal. It was a really important deal. So this morning, we're going to look at another one. And what I told you last week was when I did these, when I went through them, I would try to give you the context of the statement. So I'm going to try to give you the context as well. But before we do, I want to read to you from John chapter 10, starting at verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to the fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. So this week's I am statement is I am the what? Good shepherd, right? Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, up to this point in the scripture, I want to give you a little background on where this comes from. Up to this point, Jesus has been in this argument with the religious leaders. It's been a bit of a fight, although we don't like to say that Jesus had fights with people, right? Jesus has this disagreement, right, with the religious leaders. And they're going back and forth over an issue that happened just a couple chapters earlier. Jesus heals this guy who is blind. And the religious leaders don't like that he's healed this guy. So they go back and forth with this guy. Well, you really did have sight before, right? You didn't. I mean, it was not since birth. So they go as far as to, like, go to his parents. He's lying, right? And they're like, no, he didn't have sight. It really didn't happen. I mean, it really did happen. Jesus really healed him. So then they come and they kick the guy out. They say, you got to go because you must have sinned really badly to have lost your sight. So Jesus has this conflict with them because he's healed the guy that they think is a great sinner. Yet Jesus takes the guy in like a shepherd would do for a sheep. So that's where this idea of I am the good shepherd is coming from, where Jesus is trying to say, no, we don't treat people this way. This is not what we do. Now, for many of us in Northern Virginia in the year 2019, we might not understand the concept of a shepherd. We don't see a lot of those around here, right? I mean, maybe you do. I don't see a lot of those around here. People are like, I don't even know what a shepherd is. Right, there are people who take care of sheep, okay? Sheep herd. All right. But in the first century, it would have been a really, really, really important thing for Jesus to use this concept of a shepherd and to use this concept of a good shepherd in contrast to the hired hand, which I believe Jesus is referring to the religious leaders here, right? To the opposite of the good shepherd. And he opens, I didn't read it, but he opens with verse 10 where he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I mean, this is a big contrast. Jesus is saying, look, this guy was blind. I have come so that people might have life, and I brought him life. Look, if all you want me to do is take stuff away from people, or the phrase he uses is kill and steal and destroy. He says, that's not what I'm about. He says, I'm about bringing life. Do you see the contrast in those two statements just as he opens up in verse 10? Now, I wonder if you can think about this contrast a little bit, because I don't want to paint the picture of the religious leaders as awful, horrible people, but I want to give you what I think might be a contrast. I was in the hospital visiting someone the other day, and she was sick. And she went on and on and on and on and on about the doctors and how wonderful they were and how great the nurses were and all the staff and everybody who came to visit her took care of her, and they were so fantastic. They showed her love and grace and compassion. Now, I have also been to visit people in that very same hospital who say, every one of the doctors is awful. They're terrible. The nurses don't want to spend any time with me. Everyone is in a rush. And everyone is moving and moving and moving and moving. One of those in those contexts is bringing real care, love, compassion, grace, and peace. And the other one is moving through the motions. Both of them are working to heal the person, right? Both of them are working to do something good. But when the doctor comes and has no compassion or no bedside manner, something is missing. And I think that's a bit of the context that Jesus is trying to give here, a bit of the contrast. I mean, think about Dr. McNeely in the story that I opened up with. Great compassion. If you're going in to remove fluid off of a child's brain, are you thinking about their teddy bear? Because Dr. McNeely is. He cares about that whole child. I'm going to spend some time today. I want to walk through this passage because I want to get you to this contrast. I want to get you to understanding the nature of Jesus as the good shepherd. And I want to start right here with these concepts that Jesus uses between the good shepherd and the hired hand, because I think it's a really important thing. I want to look again at verses 11 through 13. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd, does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, runs away, and the wolf snatches them up and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. So for the religious leaders, they would have really gotten this concept, because this idea of a good shepherd comes from the book of Ezekiel. back in the Old Testament, which they would have studied, they would have known the religious stories, the religious law. They would have seen this God, the God is the good shepherd who cares for the sheep, God who rescues them from the places to which they've been scattered, feeds them, tends the weak, the injured, and the lost. That's an image for the nature of God. And that was contrasted in that same place with what was used there was the bad shepherd, not the hired hand, the bad shepherd, the opposite, the one who's not there, who's not going to be there to care for them. Jesus goes as far to say multiple times as he is willing to lay down his life for his sheep. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The shepherd's willing to do anything. Now, you might say that seems really odd that a shepherd's going to lay down their life for the sheep. In first century Palestine, it was very common for shepherds to die because shepherds were willing to do whatever it took to protect their flock. If there was some animal that was coming in to attack their flock, they would fight the animal and often lose their lives. But it was the job of the shepherd because they so deeply loved the sheep. So when Jesus gives them this image that a first century person would deeply understand, shepherd after shepherd after shepherd losing their life because they're trying to protect their flock, he says, and I am willing to lay down my life for my sheep. But he says, make no mistake, not every shepherd is the same. Not every tender of the sheep is the same. There are those that wouldn't lay down their lives. There are those that aren't good shepherds. In this passage, Jesus, as I said, calls them hired hands. And in the Old Testament, it's very, very clear they're bad shepherds. Right? It's very clear these are bad shepherds. The bad shepherd, the picture of the hired hand, in that case, the shepherd's primary concern is themselves. Let me take care of me and not the sheep. And the contrast Jesus is giving here is, I am here for you. I am here to lay down my life for you. I am here because I love you. So we get the first part is that contrast. The good shepherd's here to bring you peace as you head into the challenges of life. The good shepherd, like Dr. McNeely, goes the extra mile to be present with you, to walk with you. Let's look at the next part. It says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. This part tells us that Jesus, as the good shepherd, is willing to lay down his life, not only because he loves you and me, but because of his love for God. Because of his obedient love for God. To me, this is a conversation about a really, really big phrase that you might not hear often called the Lordship of Christ. It's a big, important phrase, and I don't say big, important phrases here without explaining them. What do I mean by the Lordship of Christ? Christ says that we are his own, and our response to the Good Shepherd is whether or not we believe that and live into Christ being our Lord. We might hear Jesus Christ is Lord. We sing songs about the Lord. But what does it look like? To honor the Lordship of Christ looks like obedience. It means when we're in a place where we're making a big decision and we're making a hard decision, we are pausing, we are being still, we are trying to listen to what Christ might say to us. We're trying to respond as Christ would have us to respond, to be obedient to that. It means that we turn away from sins in our lives, those things that pull us away from living the life that Christ talks about in that 10th verse. It means that we allow Christ to be our doctor, listening to the truths that he shares with us, responding to those truths, allowing Christ to be present with us, and being still in that moment. I think there's something really interesting here. There's something about Christ's love for God, even as Christ is God, that brings me a peace about being obedient to him. Right? We live in this tension of, we have God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And Christ is God, yet Christ talks about his deep love for God. And in his obedience to God, it makes me long to be obedient to him. There is nothing, and I want to be very clear about this, there is nothing about Jesus that is about self-interest. Nothing. That's the big contrast and the big thing. The good shepherd is about the sheep. And about caring for the sheep, where the bad shepherd is about the shepherd. And then finally, look where this passage ends. It says, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I've received this command from my Father. This speaks about Christ's obedience. One of the challenges that people often have when I talk to them about God is they say, why would God make his son die? Why in the world would God make his son die on the cross? And in this passage, Jesus very clearly says that God didn't make him do it. He chose to be obedient. He chose to do it for the sheep. Now that's a much more complex issue that we can talk about on another Sunday, but I want to speak to his obedience in this passage. What I want us to see is that Christ doesn't call us to something like obedience that he's not willing to do himself. And it is all out of love. It is all out of the love that the shepherd has for the sheep. It is all about care. It is all about what Christ wants to do for us, that he was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. So here's the difference this week. I'm not going to give you three things to go and do so that you can check them off. I want to give you one question that I want you to sit with this week. Do you allow Christ to be Lord of your life? Do you allow Christ to be your shepherd? Do you want him to protect you? Do you want to sit in his love? Do you want that? Because if you want that, what Christ is saying is, I want to do that for you. I am the good shepherd. I came that you might have life. I came that you might feel loved. Friends, do we seek the good shepherd or do we seek the hired hand? Because ultimately in life, we're going to follow somebody. We're going to spend time with somebody. The question is, do you want to spend time with the one who loves you and who would lay down his life for you? Or do you want to spend time with one that's going to run when things get hard? Christ is the good shepherd.